Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Epistle of Philippians, the third chapter, verses 4 through 14. Hear now the word of our Lord. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his suffering by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached this goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made it his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
How many of you have ever dyed Easter eggs? I remember a time when Canaan, who now is in the Navy and on the 23rd will leave for Bahrain, decided he wanted to do it all by himself. And so in the kitchen, we put out newspaper on the floor. We put a plastic tablecloth on the table. We poured the cups of dye. We boiled a dozen eggs. Unbeknowing unto us, while we were sent to the other room so that he could surprise us with Easter eggs when he finished, he didn't have enough boiled eggs. And so he got them out of the refrigerator to continue on. Of course, he dropped one or two. Then he decided, because he had seen it at school, that he could put a hole in the bottom of those eggs and blow out the inside and still have the shell. You can imagine what the kitchen looked like. So when he called us back in, he said these words, "Okay, y'all can come in. It's a surprise." And it was a surprise. And I said, not out loud to him, but to his grandfather, "What a mess." And he said, "He didn't make a mess, he made a memory." I think I've learned from him that that is very, very true. I've also learned you can't buy memories. You can't in any way. In any way, you can't win the prize by keeping a neat house. As a matter of fact, I know a man who has a box, and the box is labeled treasures and prizes. And in that box, there's a menagerie of things, none of which a thief would bother to rob, but there are things for him that are priceless, and for anyone else who opened that box would be worthless. piece of string, rock picked up someplace on a trail, the craziest things. A marble he won from the bully when he was a boy. And a brown paper sack. Now, the brown paper sack is there because his daughter, every day from the time she was about 5 or 6 years old until she went away for college, every day she decorated a lunch bag for him. So when he pulled out his lunch, there it was. If he didn't take his lunch, he still had a bag. And there would be something in the bag that she thought he might need while he was at work. And he said he threw them away. He just never thought about it. He ate his lunch, he wadded them up, he threw them away. Until it got time for her to go to college, leave home. And then he began to save the bags. Things often get in our way, and no doubt some of those things are important. Our house, and if we're really honest, we'll admit that our house really owns us instead of us owning the house. It always needs a roof or a floor swept or a fence put around it or something that we have to do. Our retirement, a trustworthy set of wheels to get us from point A to point B, insurance in case we get sick, a fund for our children's education, all important. But what about the stuff that you can't write a check for? What about the stuff that is priceless? What about the stuff that we take for granted? It is important. See, a house is just a house, but a home is different. It's filled with love, it's filled with memories. A home is the prize, not a house. When I move, I have a hard time getting used to a new house. Now, I'm a Methodist preacher, so I move a lot, have moved a lot. And until something I discover or happens that makes this place unique and fills it with a memory, it's just a house. It's just somewhere to stay. I remember the screen door on our house where we raised our boys squeaked. So when you opened it, it squeaked. And then when they let it go, it slammed. The boy's dad decided he was tired of that slamming door and squeaking door, and so he oiled the hinges of that door, and then he put a closer on it so it wouldn't. And about 2 days later, I said, "Fix my door. I don't like that door. I know when they go out, the door slams. I know when they start in that it's going to squeak, and I know they're coming. Fix my door. You messed up my door." The prize was the squeaking and the slamming of the door. I can tell you that my door doesn't slam anymore. It's a very lonely sound, that door easing itself to. Sometimes we get so caught up in having nice things that we forget about the good stuff. Sometimes we get so caught up in the church and the church buildings that we forget about the main thing. You know what I love? I love sticky on the handrails when we start up the stairs. I love a playground that the equipment wears out on and you have to buy more. I love a youth room, a youth space. It's coming. We're working on it. That is filled with noise and pizza, and the carpet's a little stained where somebody dropped a Sprite or a Coke. I love a youth space that is filled with noise and laughter. Yesterday, the canine police officer for Brookhaven lives across the street from me. His name is Dano. And his person came to me and said, "I'm so sorry, Dano has barked all morning." And I said, "You know, I just love the sound of children playing and dogs barking. That's life. I love to see people filling up the pews and sharing hymn books or watching the screen. I love to see their mouths moving when they're singing." Some of you don't move your mouth when you sing. I know you're singing, but nothing comes out your mouth. You're singing in your heart. I know you are. I love Wednesday night suppers when folks have to look for a place to sit and others call them over. Come and sit at our table. Just pull up a chair. And you know what I really hate? To see chairs turned up on their side where they're saving a seat for somebody. I love to see the choir having to order more robes and cost us more money. I love a Bible study that has to divide into small groups in order to really discuss because the group is so big. Those folks are running the race and winning the prize. I love the problems we're having at Chamblee right now today. Are we going to have to add more staff? Maybe. Hope so. Think so. Are we going to have enough room when we get through with this build? For just a little while we are. Will we be finished? No, not finished. There's another phase coming someplace down the road. And Ray and me are going to watch you do that phase. I love the budget. And it keeps going up. That's a good sign, believe it or not. I love not having enough time and having too much to do. That's a prize. I love a church that never says, "Well, we've always done it this way." You'll never win a prize by always doing it that way. Because things change, people change, circumstance changes, needs change. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi. They were having a little trouble holding on to the good stuff. And Paul was telling them to count everything but Christ as rubbish. Paul was telling the congregation at Philippi that they needed to look past everything else and look toward Christ. Paul was telling the people who gathered to worship in the church at Philippi that there is nothing in the world more important than giving all you have and all you are to the good of the church and to Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what he's telling them. That's what this is about. Paul is telling us that to fill up our house, to eat out every night, to drive great cars, to send our kids to the best schools, to dress in the finest clothes, to have the largest stash of cash and assets is rubbish unless we fill our hearts and souls with Jesus Christ and follow him. You know what I'm talking about. We press on for more and more and more. We all do. We press on for bigger and better, and we work hard and gather and wonder why we are not happy. If you'll go on Facebook and go to Maddie Stowe, I just read it this morning. I wanted to hear from them. I hadn't heard from them all weekend, and I went there, and she said, "I am 17 years old, and I'm tired of people telling me I am not stressed." She said, "I go to school every Monday through Friday and leave school at 12:30 and go to my first job. And I work there until 5:30 and then I go to my second job. And I work there until 10:30-ish at night and then I go back to school the next day." And the first thing I wrote was, I'm so very proud of you. And the second thing I wrote is, when do you go to church? You want to know why you stressed? Let me see if I can help you out with that. Seventeen years old. Now, her daddy doesn't make her work. Her daddy gives her everything she needs and a lot of what she wants. 17 and stressed out. Paul is telling us we don't need to be stressed out. We need to stop. We need to review. We press on, but we press on for bigger and better. Paul said, I press on toward the goal. I press on for the prize. And the prize is a heavenly prize, a heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. But we, you and I and Maddie, we just press on. We could be living. We really could have a life, but we choose to press on. It is Lenten season, a time to reflect, a time to prioritize, a time to count rubbish, rubbish, and to reach for the treasure, to reach for the real prize. It is a time to forget about how it used to be. It is a time to move toward the future with boldness and assurance and with faith. It is time to make sure our eyes are on Christ and that we love the Lord our God with our whole hearts, with all of our being, with all that we are, with all that we will ever be. That's winning. That's crossing the finish line. That's really the only thing that counts. Today, we'll gather back here to do the funeral service for Gordon Rowell. And so very often in one of those funeral services, I read 2 Timothy. Do you know it? I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. And there is for me and all who love the Lord a prize. Amen. We're going to stand.